cousin conversations, laughter and life lessons. Cousin conversations with Blake and Tim.
Yay! Yay! Right. Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us at Cousin Conversations. I'm Tiffany, and this is Blake, and this is our podcast. Welcome. We are real-life cousins, real-life best friends, and real-life soul sisters. And we're here just to chat with you about lessons that we've learned in this life journey.
Including self-love, feeling your feelings, expressing yourself, global issues, cultural issues, and so much more. Yes! We are also addicted to laughing and hugging.
Mm-hmm.
And we're crazy huggers. So just so you know right now. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so happy and grateful that you are here today.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Welcome.
Yay!
Woohoo!
Woo!
All right, let's get started. So what are we talking about today, Blake?
Today we are talking about self-love.
Self-love.
All right.
Oh, loving yourself.
So what does that mean? Like, gosh, I mean, I've gotten that question so many times. I know that I ask myself that a lot.
I know.
What does that mean,
I know.
Self-love?
Well, I don't think it's the kind of self-love, like I don't think the self-love that you and I ever talk about is the kind of self-love that's like filling that void. You know,
like
the kind of
filling a void because you feel like you're empty inside.
Right. And just to mold yourself so that other people will love you and accept you.
Right.
I think we all maybe do it to a certain point in our life.
Totally.
And then we figure out, oh my gosh, I'm not really loving myself. I've just been doing this for other people. And then we discover what really, you know, loving yourself is. At least that's, I guess, been my experience.
Yeah. And tell us what that is, because what you said earlier just amazed me about what you feel like self-love is. For you, you said self-love.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, it, you know, in thinking about, like, really asking myself, like, what does loving myself look like? Like, what does that really mean to me?
Right.
You know, I don't know. Like, does that mean, you know, eating a bowl of my favorite ice cream? You know, like, sometimes it does, you know. Sometimes
right.
That does is what self-love looks like. But I think ultimately, self-love to me is accepting yourself and accepting
right.
who you are in the full capacity of who you are. Because we all have areas of ourselves where we beat ourselves up and we, you know, have flaws or whatever. We have weaknesses or whatever people want to label it as.
Mm-hmm.
We have areas in our life that, you know, things about ourselves that we wish we could change. And in that capacity, we tend to forget that that's also part of ourselves that we have to love and accept.
Right.
And that's hard. Like,
right.
I know for myself, that's really challenging. There's certain things about myself that I'm like, oh, I'm not like that. And then I'm like, wait, I am like that. And I'm like, you know, But that's part of the journey and the process. But yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I just love that. So self-love is really self-acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like one of the hardest things.
Right.
Isn't it?
Right.
I think especially in our culture and society where, you know, we're taught not to accept ourselves, to constantly be pushing to achieve something more so that we have more quote unquote value, you know, comparing
right.
ourselves to other people, you know,
yeah.
comparing ourselves to an ideal that is not fitting
Yeah, yeah. And even if we don't have any outside influence telling us mm-hmm. what we should be like, we put it upon ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, we build that idea for ourselves, where it's like, nobody, like in my life growing up, nobody pushed me hard. Like, nobody told me I had to get on a roll, or I had to be captain of the cheer team, or I had to be student body president. Like, nobody told me that. I totally pushed myself that hard and did that to myself. And I'm so not, like, I don't look at that as like a bad thing,
right.
But I was self, you know, I don't know, driven, self-motivated. I don't know what that, you know, is or whatever, but I just was really hard on myself. I pushed myself. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so interesting, because I had kind of the opposite experience growing up. Like, I was always pushed really hard and just right. like held to such a high expectation that I could never meet. And just, you know, I guess not pushed hard in like the sense of you have to do this, but more of like manipulated into, you know, you have to do this. And then a lot of criticism, you know, right. constantly, like it was like, you could never reach, you know, the level that you wanted to. And so the things that I did in high school, like DECA and pushing myself to become vice president and, mm-hmm. you know, all of those things, like creating the first newspaper ever.
Yeah.
So much fun. Oh my God. I miss that.
That is sometimes. So, and what a cool thing to be a part of.
Yeah.
Like the first newspaper. I mean, everybody remembers, right. you know, the year things started,
yeah,
you know,
that's so fun.
That's a really cool thing.
Yeah. It was so great. And you know, I did all of that because I had to escape
right.
how bad things were at home. And it was hard too, because with newspaper, you know, I was the editor of the feature section. Gosh, that was so great. Like, I was thinking earlier, because I was watching a show or something where they were talking about how much high school sucked. And I was like, yeah, high school was awful. Like, I would never go through that again. It sucked so bad. I hated it, you know. But then thinking about newspaper and DECA, I was like, oh,
right.
these were the great parts.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was like getting lost in that and pushing myself, you know, because it was the only thing I had that was my own that my mom couldn't take away, you know. And so it's just interesting how, like, that kind of shows up differently, you know, depending
yeah.
on your experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe because I didn't have anybody pushing me, maybe that is why, you know, like, for the people who don't have that, they develop it themselves because they see people around them being pushed, you know?
Right, right, right.
Their parents, and they're like, well, maybe I need to be doing this. I mean, I think that's why I honestly went out for as many scholarships that I did, was because, you know, some of my closest friends were like, their parents were like doing all their scholarship applications for them and like really pushing them to do more. And I was like, wow. I think I need to do one, you know? So, and I wound up getting some scholarships because
That's
I
awesome.
Did it, because I pushed myself, you know? And I think, but in talking about that time, like in looking back, I didn't really totally look at all of that or feel like that was like a part of like my self-love package. Like, that really never felt like I was, like, loving myself.
Right, that I was going to ask you, like, what...
That kind of actually felt more like, when I look back now, it looks like kind of this, like, false confidence where I was really putting on a mask.
Right.
And I think the best analogy I could use is, like, an M&M, where it's, like, you know, got, like, the hard shell and, like, the gooey middle, because I was really insecure, you know, and had a ton of insecurity issues. Not that I don't, you know,
right.
like not that, you know, I'm
we
all,
still work through it into I our
have
adulthood.
No insecurity issues now. I am so perfect. No, that's not the case. But, you know, of course, and rightfully so. I mean, every teenager, you know what I mean, has their, you know, wide range of issues and, you know, just reflections and transitioning and growing that they're doing, that I think I think all of that was really like a kind of a false confidence where I put on a mask, I put on a front because I really, like I learned how to do that at a young age, you know, and to put on a happy face kind of thing.
Right.
And that's been one of like, I think the biggest lessons for that I've learned in life, you know, in that that wasn't self-love and that, that kind of, putting on a mask and molding myself so that other people loved me was really not what I was. Yeah, exactly. It really wasn't, you know, like I wasn't always happy all the time. I wasn't always funny all the time. You know, I'm not. And I have my down days and I have my rough days and I have my, you know, everything. I have all the same emotions and go through all the same shit that anybody else does, you know. And a lot of people kind of looked at me in a different light, and that was a lot of pressure, I think, that slowly between their reflection of me and my reflection of myself, it just kind of builds.
Right. Like the pressure from them is like that reflection of the pressure that you put on yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
For those of you who are listening, I just put on my raccoon mask.
Yeah.
When Tiffany was talking about wearing masks, because I had an animal, spirit animal reading, and turns out that the raccoon chose me, which is crazy because I was like, what? No.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird. Like, nobody wants to have raccoon as their totem animal.
No, it's, raccoons are so smart.
But they are. They're so brilliant and they're so resourceful. And that is truly me. Like, I'm so freaking resourceful. I just, I have to. I'm a survivor, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know if you've seen this, Tiff, but speaking of masks, this is my my eating disorder mask.
Wow. When did you make that?
I made this in treatment. Oops. So, it's like, isn't that crazy? So basically, okay, so it's a mask of painted of different colors for those who can't see it. There's feathers kind of all over that kind of represents like the ugliness. But then I've got this glitter going on. So like my eyes are glitter, the lips are glitter, because it's kind of like putting on that show, you know, of like the beauty, like being perfect and gorgeous on the outside, you know, but it's all a mask. And then like I've got moles here that kind of represented like ickiness to me, because I was always like a fear of like any beauty imperfections and like all this stuff going on up here. And then you've got the veil. So under the eyes is this veil, and this veil represents my death, because my eating disorder, you know, in order for it to live, I had to die.
Right.
And because that was the goal. And so there's this veil that like represents like me. It's the mourning of Blake, because Blake is dying and the eating disorder is living. And it's so crazy because it actually like fits right on my face.
Cause wow.
We laid down and, you know, molded our faces and then made the mask. So,
that's so cool.
Yeah. So I totally understand wearing a mask, because you're so insecure on the inside. I hated myself and I felt so deserving of less than everything. And I just hated myself on the daily and, you know, was hated on the outside. And it just was such a struggle. And, you know, my mask is how I survived. You know, so interesting, because like it comes up in those times in our life when it's really serving us, you know, and my eating disorder served me, because I survived all of that trauma because I had this, you know, this thing to help me through it, you know, and then you get to a certain time in your life when your mask no longer serves you.
Exactly.
And you're like, okay, like I need to let this go and transform and maybe let more of my authentic self come out to play.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And technically, or not technically or whatever, like I feel like what I've learned at, you know, in and out of therapy is that, you know, we develop that mask from something, you know, chaotic or traumatic that happens in our childhood.
Exactly.
So, you know, we both had, chaotic, you know, traumatic childhoods. And I think that it's the, you know, we develop it to survive, exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. And we don't even recognize that we have it. Like, I don't think I recognized I had that until I was much older, you know. Like, I want to say it was maybe like 5 years ago or something, you know, like maybe not even that. Like, what was it? Like, maybe 4 years ago? Like, I feel like I just got to know myself, like, just took the mask off and just said, F this. Like, I'm going to just accept who I am and not mold myself for other people anymore.
Yeah.
And it's a constant, you know, reminder.
Yeah. And see, this, you guys, is why Tiffany and I are soul sisters, because about 4 years ago, I had just gone into treatment for my eating disorder, which mm-hmm. is where I started learning how to take off my mask and to live an authentic life, you know. And I literally, and Tiff and I have talked about this, I literally feel like I'm birthing into the world as a totally new person, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. it's like this whole new life,
mm-hmm.
you know?
No, it is. And it is a death and a rebirth and a death and a rebirth, you know?
Gwenny is scratching at the door, so
oh,
go ahead
yeah.
continue.
No, get Gwenny.
Come on.
Yay.
It's a Gwenster.
You know how those fur babies are?
Cat.
They run our lives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
Come here, baby. Oh, no, okay.
So she's going to love herself and go sleep. Go take a nap.
Sweetie. Mommy's recording right now.
Okay.
Come here, babe. So, continuing.
Mm, yeah.
Okay, so we talked about what self-love looks like to us.
And oh, well, you know, we got into a little bit of okay. beating ourselves up.
Right.
But we didn't totally, like, totally get into that. That's and that was something that we definitely, like, exactly. have talked about so many
oh,
times
yeah.
because it's like, everybody, I mean, we all beat ourselves up. Like, we all know what that's like. And I can't remember where I heard it, if it was like one of my counselors in high school or something, but somebody told me once, because I was really upset about somebody, the way somebody was treating me, and I wanted them to treat me differently because they were being mean to me.
Right.
And they told me, you know, try to think about what it would be like to be in their shoes and to be that person, because if they're this mean to you, then they're 10,000 times meaner to themselves. And I thought, oh, well, then that must be true for me, because I must be, you know, whoever I'm hard on or whoever I, you know,
right.
am just like so impatient and frustrated with, like, and take out any kind of frustration with, it's like, that's 10,000 times harder I am on myself.
Right.
And that's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's just a little too much. So we're done that. We're done that
exactly.
with that.
We're going to drop the stick.
Drop the stick, yes.
That is my favorite phrase. Tell us about that,
yes.
Tiffany.
Well, that came from, so I've been working with a spiritual business coach for, we worked together a couple years ago for a few months, and then we've been working together since December.
Cool.
And she is a great reminder to me to drop the stick, because I am so hard on myself.
Yeah, me too.
It's not, I don't know, maybe I am a perfectionist. I don't know if I am a perfectionist, but it's, I don't feel I am a perfectionist, but I'm just very, very hard on myself. And so I beat myself up. And so it winds up paralyzing me from actually doing things, because
exactly.
If it's not perfect or whatever, then I just won't do it, and it just doesn't get done. So things
right.
are kind of half finished, half ass, and half,
not really.
You know,
that's just what you think. I thought I had a quote.
No, but about. You know.
Oh, here we go. Done is better than perfect.
Yes.
Perfection
yes.
prevents progress.
Yes. No, those are really great.
Oops.
That's really a great reminder. So dropping the stick is
dropping
like.
That you beat yourself up with.
Yes.
It's like, just the image of dropping it. It's like, oh shit. Okay. I didn't even realize I was carrying it.
Yeah.
Cause a lot of times like I'll be beating the crap out of myself and I don't even recognize that I'm doing it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Until external force comes along and is like, Blake, what you doing there? Like, come on, girl.
Yep.
You know? And I'm like, oh shit. Okay. Self-love. Yeah. What does that look like for me in this moment? Where's my list?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. My check-in system.
Yeah, exactly. So I love that image because it's just so easy to just, okay, let it go. You know, such a simple and profoundly effective tool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And it's... I feel in remembering to drop the stick, it also gives me this kind of permission to, like, it's okay to not be perfect. Like, it's okay to mess up. It's okay. Like, it doesn't matter just as long as I keep doing it. You know what I mean? And if I mess up, then, you know, and I want to beat myself up for a minute or whatever, like quickly get, like drop the stick again and forgive myself and not let it take me down a spiral that paralyzes me where I don't actually move forward or do what I really want to do.
Right. And don't you feel like when you're in that spiral, it kind of feels more difficult to... like it feels like it takes a little more effort to return to, you know, just that peace.
Oh, absolutely.
Like it's simpler to just drop it immediately versus
going
down that spiral.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you have to kind of come out of the trenches.
Right.
And I don't know where I heard this either, but I want to throw this away. We could just throw it away right now, but you know, that the negative stuff is so much easier to believe than the positive. And, you know, like that when people complain about you or when people say negative or criticize you,
like
you know,
sticks.
Like that will stick out in your head more than the
positive.
You know, all the people giving you positives. And so, you know, maybe that's just part of like the ego always trying to find tricks to kind of, you know, separate, you know, and keep us jumping through all these hoops of like, you know, like, oh, what do we have to do to be loved around here? You know, I don't know. But it's, yeah, it's, that's really crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think is the best way for someone to get out of the trenches? Like say that, you know, we want to be practicing dropping the stick.
Right.
And that we, you know, things happen and we start going down that spiral and we find ourselves there, you know, and sometimes it feels like, oh my God, I have to dig myself out of this hole. I can't do this. It's too hard. It's too sad, too heavy. Like what do you feel like is your tool or solution, or what do you do in those situations?
What I feel like you and I kind of have a somewhat of a similar, you know, process of writing, of journaling. I know the physiological release, you know, of getting it out of your heart into your hand and writing is extremely therapeutic. I also find that, for me, it took a little bit, like it wasn't like overnight, but it was like, oh my gosh, I love myself. I don't beat myself up anymore. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't overnight that it all just kind of happened. It was little by little me really questioning a lot of my thoughts and questioning a lot of the way, the things that I say to myself, you know? And which reminds me of this experiment that I was telling you about where... So this company took these actors and they interviewed them and they said, what are some of the things that you say to yourself? And they wrote it down, you know, like, oh, you know, like you really need to lose some weight or, you know, like, why do you wear that hat? It looks so ugly on you or, you know, like just whatever, like little things that we say to ourselves that we just don't really even think that much of, you know, they're just like little, we a lot of us don't even recognize that we say them, you know, that they're like spiraling around. And so they interviewed them, they wrote all these things down, and then what they had them do was they went to a coffee shop and they had them sit together at a coffee shop and they told each other the things that they would say to themselves. And the people, like, they would say it loud enough so that the people surrounding them, it was like a really intimate coffee shop, would hear them. And so all those people around them heard, you know, like somebody saying, like, you really need to lose weight, you know, I don't know why you're wearing that dress or whatever, you know, like something extremely rude that nobody would ever say to another person, but we say it to ourselves, no problem. And people were like, you are not allowed to say that. Like, some people stood up and they were like, you know, that is not okay, like, to talk to somebody that way. And, you know, a lot of almost everybody had a reaction, you know, to it, because we wouldn't talk to anybody that way. We would never, ever talk to people the way that we talk to ourselves.
Right.
And I think that that was such a great, like, visual for us to see and to be reminded that's what we're doing, you know, like, that is exactly what we're doing. Like, so I think questioning my thoughts was what really started turning me around into a more loving space with myself,
right.
And questioning those things that I would say to myself when I would just, like, beat myself up about my hair or about my skin or about my teeth or about, you know, my body or whatever, you know, my clothes or the way I dress or anything, you know.
Just questioning those thoughts.
Yeah, questioning the way that those thoughts, you know, whatever would come in and I would beat myself up about and be like, okay, wait a minute, what is that about, you know? And then, okay, well, that's not really true. That's not how I really feel. And I'm just having a moment right now. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times it's, you know,
a temporary feeling.
Yeah,
that
totally.
We just need to feel and let pass.
Yeah.
Instead of attaching to it and beginning to identify with it.
Exactly. And having it define who we are.
Right, right.
Like, that doesn't define who we are.
Exactly.
And
can we just say that again?
Yeah, yes.
Please, because I think
our
we all need to hear that.
Our feelings
do not define who we are. And
no.
Who we are in our core and our essence is so incredibly beautiful and expansive and divine.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
We are so beautiful.
All of us have such, such special gifts to give. It's really beautiful and powerful how individually unique and special each person on this planet is.
Yeah.
And we all have something so awesome to share. Yeah. And, you know, in beating ourselves up and all talking about all of this and self-love and everything, like, what we're learning is really, like, how to come out of hiding. You know, like, we're coming out of hiding and showing everybody who we really are and expanding in who we really are and growing and saying yes to who we really are.
And yes to life.
Yeah. And that's a different story than, you know, just kind of putting on that mask and building just to build blocks, you know, like, we're tapped into... We're coming into a, like, it feels to me, it for my life, it's like coming into alignment with, you know, everything, like, where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, so, and not necessarily where you're supposed to be, but
realizing
that where you are is,
yeah,
you know, where you want to be.
Yeah. Exactly.
Supposed
yeah.
to, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your shirt is so cool.
Oh, yeah. So let me show this shirt really quick. This is a self-love organization. It's Girls Packed. Girls Empowerment.
I love it. What does the pink say?
Rock your stuff.
Nice.
Yep.
That is so
and,
cute.
And
I love it.
You can find them on Instagram, hashtag Girls Packed. And they are a super awesome Girls Empowerment program that is ran by my dear friend, Michelle. And it's fantastic. It is really awesome. Actually, tomorrow we're having a beach party.
Sweet.
I know. It's really
beach
cool.
Parties are awesome.
No, we're going to do like beach volleyball and picnics and stuff.
What?
Like,
awesome. Oh my gosh. We love living by the beach.
Yay. So awesome. Yay for beach.
Woo, beach. Tomorrow is going to be a beach day for myself as well.
Yay.
Excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, oh, that's right. We were going to talk about how when you're beating yourself up, that is actually worse than the act of whatever you're beating yourself up for.
Right.
So
right.
Like, let's say, you know, I decide to have like a bowl of ice cream, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the ice cream is not going to affect you in any type of negative way compared to what you're like the act of beating yourself up for having it.
Yeah.
Like that energy in itself is like so poisonous.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that that is something that, I know for me, I didn't recognize that. Like, I don't think that that's something that, you know, is we're really so quick to recognize because it, especially because we can like, justify all these external things, you know, like, well, of course ice cream is bad for me because it's late at night and I'm going to go to bed and it's just going to sit there or whatever.
Right. But what's causing the, what really
like we forget
that.
How powerful our mind is.
Right.
Our mind is
our thoughts.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Our thoughts are super powerful. And that's really where it all stems for, you know, loving ourselves because we're not, you know, we're not loving ourselves. We're not accepting, you know, just being like, yeah, I'm going to freaking eat this bowl of ice cream and it's going to be awesome and I'm going to love it, you know? And it's going to be great. So I think that's a much like more powerful thought than judging ourselves for, and because I know for me, like anytime I judge myself or anytime I beat myself up or anytime that I, you know, get into that space, like you were saying earlier, like, how do I get out of it? You know, I'm in that spiral now that, you know, I am questioning my thoughts and catching those and everything. You know, I have to start the forgiving process. Like, I have to forgive all these thoughts, all these things I'm beating myself up for.
Like, forgiving and, yourself for having them or just forgiving the thoughts themselves?
Forgiving, like, forgiving myself for feeling, you know, not good enough or forgiving myself for feeling, you know, like I'm ugly because of this or for feeling not worthy because of this.
Right.
So, like, that's been a huge tool for me, the forgiveness, self-forgiveness tool.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, it can be even hard to understand, you know, what does that mean exactly? Like, how do you forgive yourself? And because when if I'm feeling really triggered, you know, and I'm wanting to do the work, but I don't know, like, in that moment, I'm having a hard time. Because sometimes you don't really want to forgive, you know? You're I want to stay in this freaking pain.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when I use Ho'oponopono. So Ho'oponopono is the phrase, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helps me if I, you know that I'm wanting to move forward into forgiveness, but I'm not really feeling like I'm totally on board with it. I'll just, you know, say that. And you can even expand it to like, I'm sorry for having these thoughts, you know, please forgive me for attaching to them and thinking they're real. Thank you so much for everything that you, you know, do for me. I'm so grateful for you, mind, you know, and for myself. And thank you for forgiving me. I love you, you know, and it just is like, okay. And you start having this dialogue and it starts to kind of disperse that energy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
that's a beautiful, that's Hawaiian, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's Hawaiian. Yeah. It's you can read about Ho'oponopono in Dr. Joe Vitale's book called Zero Limits. And it's actually, I can't think of the name of the gentleman who used it. There's an incredible story in Zero Limits about this, the Hawaiian, I think it's the man who either created it or found it or discovered it, but he would go to this insane asylum where people were so sick that they literally had to be, chained down. Like, and the people that worked in the hospital could only move down the hallways with their back to the walls because it was like so scary. Like, people were so mentally ill that they just were like crazy. And what he would do is he had his office and he would just flip through the files of all of these patients while he said Ho'oponopono over and over and over and over and over, looking at their pictures, looking at their files, just saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And he was there, I can't remember, for a significant number of months. And the patients started getting better all of a sudden. The nurses were able to walk down the hallways again. People were healing to the point where they were able to leave. And the entire center actually shut down because the patients were healed. It's this incredible, like, miraculous story.
Yeah. You know?
And again, you can read about it in Zero Limits by Dr. Joe Vitale. And please do, or at least look up Ho'oponopono, because it's an amazing tool. So
It is. Yeah. Absolutely. I know a lot of people who swear by that and have used it.
You talked about journaling too. And, you know, what's interesting for me is that journaling is actually really hard for me. Like, it does not come easily and it does not come naturally. I mean, I'm a writer by no means, or no question. But I think, like, and me, like, through my eating disorder recovery, and a lot of women I know that, you know, go through this experience, it's like, it's scary to put everything down on paper, but it's also like, I don't always totally feel safe.
Right.
Like, writing all of this down and putting it in a place where, like, somebody could find this, you know, and read it. And a lot of it does come from my mom. Complete and utter lack of any freaking privacy, and just like going through my stuff, like going through everything, like there was no privacy. My journals, blackmailing me with them later, you know, going through my freaking wallet, making a copy of my fake ID that I stored very well in my wallet, and crazy moment. Anyway, it's like it doesn't always feel safe. To write. And so it's something I'm working on because I really do know how freaking powerful it is. Like, it's amazing. And that's why I love using tapping so much, EFT tapping, because it's, you know, you're getting a physical experience. So it is physiological. Right. Like, you're touching, you know, yourself, you're tapping on the points. So you feel like you're engaging. But while at the same time, you're thinking about and connecting with those feelings of the things that you would, you know, be writing out about.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So then you can, like, kind of move that energy. And so.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's another great tool that I really love. And
yes. And you have some tapping videos, don't you?
I do. I have a tapping training. So check it out. It's called the Tapping Toolbox. It's a three video series EFT tapping training. And it's free. So check it out. My website, blakeashleyfreedom.com/tapping-toolbox, I believe. Yeah.
Very cool.
So, And why don't we talk a little bit about nourishing ourselves?
Like, yes.
What
yeah.
does that mean?
Let's definitely get into that. And because that is like, I mean, I don't know if you had a story to jump off of, but I remember when it was like springtime about 4 years ago, and I was in my therapist's office, and she was like, "So what do you like to do for you?" And I was like, "What are you talking about? Like, what do you mean?" And I was like, "All of this stuff I do for me." And she's like, "No, you're not. Like, all of this is for other people." And I was like, "What? What do you mean all of this is for other people? I'm not doing this for me. What am I doing all this for?" And so then I was like, "Gosh, well, what do I do for myself? I guess, you know, I go to the beach." And so that was 2011, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And 2012, I think, was I spent more time in the ocean in that year than I have in my whole life combined. Oh, like, God. I really started to tap into, like, what is it that I really love to do for myself, and not just me do for myself, but like where in my life am I nourishing myself? Where am, and what can I do to nourish myself every day? You know, little ways, little things. Mm-hmm. Like, what was your, like your experience with nourishing yourself, and when did you feel like you, because I almost feel like too, it's almost like we have to like give ourselves permission to nourish ourselves. Oh, you know totally. What I mean? Because we're so used to beating ourselves up and we're so used to like being hard on ourselves that it's like nourishing yourself. You're like, what? You know, like, yeah. I don't, you know.
Well, it's interesting because nourishing is really, there's a lot of levels and layers to that, you know, mm-hmm. because like, I mean, the first thought that came to mind for me was food because, you know, I'm in recovery from an eating disorder and I restricted because I, you know, I was doing the opposite of nourishing myself. Like I was basically, you know, hitting the brake hardcore on life, like not right. wanting to allow life, you know, I didn't want to be in life. And on some core level, I really wanted to die. And so the first level of nourishing I had to learn was nourishing myself with food. And it was so difficult because I hated food and I was extremely picky. You know, I was technically orthorexia, which is cut out entire food groups. So I had to have protein. Like my body was protein deficient. I had to have protein and lots of it. And so I had to learn, like I had to completely change my self-talk and teach myself that, you know, eating, this is nourishing my body. Like, you know, everything that I'm eating, like healthy fats, carbs, proteins, fruits and vegetables, like there are very specific nutrients in this food mm-hmm. that is my body needs in order to function efficiently.
Right.
And so every time I eat, I'm loving myself. I'm saying, I love myself. I love my body. I want to participate in life, you know, and I had to like create these new affirmations for myself, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So as I'm eating the food, I'm like saying this to myself because I had such negative self-talk. And so that was like the beginning of my journey of understanding what that was. And then, you know, it extends beyond to like the mental realm and the emotional realm mm-hmm. and the mm-hmm. spiritual realm. And, you know, like we were, well, and also I was going to say, you know, a lot of women can relate to this, even if they don't quote unquote have an eating disorder, but in life, like how many times do you tell yourself you're too busy to eat?
Right.
Or how many times do you have like a really small breakfast that's really not filling you, you know, right. fueling you for the day? Mm-hmm. And, you know, or do we like, and also like we totally restrict ourselves of like snacking and eating consistently.
Right.
And that's what's really best for our metabolism overall. That's why diets can actually like really do chronic harm to your metabolism.
Right. Right. Right.
But it's like this whole thing we have in, you know, of like you're saying that your work is more important than your very life, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like kind of learning to change our perception and honoring ourselves first, you know? Mm-hmm. And like when I mm-hmm. make my calendar every week, you know, I've got this like crazy ass calendar as we both do. You know, I have like yellow is self-care, you know,
yay.
Like, every day I block out times for meals, you know, I block mm-hmm. out times for snacks. I block out times for breaks and walks and mm-hmm. yoga and like the things that I need to nourish myself, mm-hmm. you know, and then the things we were talking about earlier, like,
right.
You know, like you were saying, like plucking my eyebrows.
Right.
Is an act of self-love.
Yeah. Yeah. You painting know? Your toes.
Painting my toenails. Yeah. Painting my nails is an act of self-love. Like dyeing my hair turquoise.
Right.
If that's what I really want and will make me feel good about myself, that's an act of self-love and nourishing myself.
Absolutely.
And it's just a matter of like prioritizing, you know, these things.
Yeah.
And I think that because I feel like self-care, it does take work. You know, mm-hmm. it's an active participation in, you know, loving and appreciating who you are, which is a human being, not mm-hmm. a human doing.
Right. Yeah. So,
to answer your question with my long-winded answer.
Beautiful. That was beautiful. And it's like, I feel like, you know, that is kind of like, I wish that was taught in school. Like, I wish... nutrition, like, you know,
basic
we had cooking
nutrition.
Class, but cooking class, it was like, you just learned how to like bake stuff, you know, but like real nutrition stuff, you know, like nutrition stuff, you know, see how, you know, educated I am on this, nutritional facts.
Well, we need to learn the basics of nutrition and understand the food groups and what they do for your body specifically.
Absolutely.
And then seriously, the exchange system. Mm-hmm. Fucking brilliant. Excuse my French.
Yeah.
But seriously, like understanding, you know, it's just brilliant. Like,
absolutely.
If you don't know what that is, look it up. It's what we use in eating disorder recovery, but it's seriously the most amazing meal food planning system that every person should know, because you understand, you know, the portions of what you need and what it does to nourish you. And it feels so good because you naturally understand how to eat a variety of foods that feel nourishing, you know?
Absolutely. And the combination of certain foods,
right?
You know, like I remember learning one time about the baked potato and how, you know, people are like, oh, I want it to be healthy, so I don't want like the butter and the cheese and the sour cream and everything. But it's the combination of all of that stuff that actually your body receives better for whatever reason. You know, like I'm no freaking scientist or, you know, I'm not a nutritionist or really claim to be. But I remember when I first learned about the importance of food, like the exactly what food does, and looking at it more like fuel than looking at it as just like, I'm hungry, let me eat this because that tastes good on my taste buds, you know?
Right,
like that's how I used to choose what I ate, was what tastes good.
Right.
I didn't choose what to eat versus like how much protein, fats, or carbs was in it. Like I didn't balance any of my meals that way.
Right.
And that was a huge eye opener for me. And it's been, I think, almost like it'll be like 9 years or something this year since I've had fast food, because I stopped eating it after that.
Wow. Yeah.
Or right before it, or whatever, around that time. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And just, it's, you know, thinking of food as, you know, what fuels you. And don't get me wrong. Like, I definitely eat, you know, certain fast food from time to time. Like, I love In-N-Out Burger. That is
And I do.
But I just mean that, like, for me, that is part of my, that actually is an act of self-love for me, because I never got to have it before. So now, like, and everyone is so different. Like, you have to find what works for you, and especially when it comes to food. Like, I think the most important thing is just is allowing yourself to not be in fear about it. Like, choose what is going to make you feel really good, you know, for long periods of time, like thinking of it as fuel, and allow yourself to have things that taste good in moderation, you know, when you're craving them. Because if you don't, you end up like overindulging and beating yourself up, and like all this stuff happens. And so, you know, it's like a relationship that you have with food, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I just freaking love this topic and could talk about it forever.
I know.
And if anyone wants,
and it's like, you know, I just was going to say, yes, have that bowl of ice cream.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Yeah.
And you know, just love yourself in the different ways that feel good to you, but you know, find what nourishes you, and then make a list. You know, like make a list and have it sitting nearby. Like I have my little medicine bag over here, and I just know like what feels good and what makes me feel good about myself. And there's so many things you can do for free, you know, or for very low cost. Like I got a hula hoop for really cheap, and sometimes I'll just go out and fail miserably at hula hooping, but I still like to try.
Absolutely. Like roller skating. I love roller skating. You mentioned yoga.
Yoga,
and taking walks.
Totally.
Like, you know, having dogs and taking walks is part of just the daily. It's just what we do every day. But I have been recognizing that their walks are, like, they think it's for them, but, like, it's so for me. Like, I love our walks where I get fresh air. I get to smell all the different herbs that are just sprout, you know, springing as I'm walking by my neighborhood. And, you know, it's so great. It's so great.
Pets are so great for self-love.
They are.
They're such a lesson.
They are.
Self-love, you know.
I mean, my gosh.
Crap. My cat has taught me so much about myself.
Seriously.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, they know how to love themselves.
Exactly.
They know how to take care of themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's all programmed in.
Yeah.
And they don't even think twice. They don't feel guilty.
No.
For eating, pooping, sleeping.
Or demanding love.
Exactly.
Cash, are you kidding how much he demands love a day? He does not feel guilty. He's looking at me right now, opening up his eyes.
Like when he demands it, she comes and she's like, hey, it's my time. Like you heard earlier, she's like, come here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, yeah. And then love like that. You could do vision boarding or mm-hmm. you know, like art journaling, you know,
art journaling, yeah,
drawing definitely. Out your feelings like a little kid, coloring in a coloring book.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, reading a nourishing book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many things. Taking a bath. Oh my God.
Yes.
My favorite thing with Epsom salts and candles.
Yes. Yes. Little lavender essential oil.
Yeah.
Just totally. Giving like a facial. Like I love mm-hmm. the, you know, just feeling like I'm you know, just kind of, you know, either sometimes I'll like take cucumber and grind up cucumber and put cucumber on my face.
Oh, awesome.
Just because that just feels so refreshing. And wash it, like, this is so weird, but like I was telling you about this pair of shoes that I've had to deal with this like old sweat thing, right? So I would like take my shoes off and like go wash my feet. And there was a couple times where I was like, I just want to like soak my feet because like it's just been a long day. And soaking your feet is like such a like awesome thing. I was like, why don't I do this every day? Like everybody needs to be soaking their feet every day. This is like the best feeling.
Awesome.
Yeah. With like, I did like a little baking soda and apple cider vinegar just as like a nice clean, like soak. Yeah.
That's so awesome. Yeah. Soaking your feet.
Yeah.
Getting a pedicure, have them massage you, getting massage. Meditation.
Meditation.
Listening to soothing music.
Going hiking.
Yes.
I feel like anything in nature, like beach, desert, hiking, mountains, you know, anything connecting to nature, mm-hmm. connecting to humanity, to animals.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of it is like a really, it mm-hmm. fuels our love tank, mm-hmm. fills our love tank for sure.
Yes. And I would say another really good act of self-love is sex and orgasm.
Absolutely.
Those are very important.
Absolutely. How could we totally leave those off the list?
Yeah,
that
no.
is so important. Absolutely.
Yeah. Pleasure.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like, how often do you really let yourself feel pleasure?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm honestly saying this because this is a reflection for Blake, too. I mean, you know, Tiffany knows, like, I recently had an experience that just, like, totally busted open my world with pleasure. And it's like, oh, my gosh, why have I not been doing this more? Like,
right.
Oh, my God, it's been, you know, sometimes we just get so caught up in the doing and the to-do list and the things that we're trying to do, like, we forget that how, mm-hmm. like, it's so, what is the word, nourishing and, like, imperative. It's just so important for us to relax into feeling really good, you know, giving ourselves permission, like you said, to feel good.
Yeah.
And have that, like, release, you know, because yeah. I think sometimes we get so in control, you know, mm-hmm. like, of everything and just, like, man, there's nothing that will help you relax into the flow of life like a freaking orgasm.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a really great cure-all for everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's great for headaches. It's
great for
you know, anxiety. I mean, it's like, you know, all those things. It's those commercials that you see. They're like, do you have anxiety? Do you have this? Do you have that? And they're like, you know, try to, like, give you some pill. It's like, actually, all you need to do is just have sex, you know? Like, yeah. Really, just – and, I mean, it's like, you know, for anybody listening to this who is not of age or abstinent or whatever like that, but self-pleasure is extremely important.
Girl, so, you just stole you know, the words right out of my head.
It's not about, you
totally.
Know, whether or not it's, you know, with somebody else. It's, it, that is, and
it's
I feel like,
you.
You know, on a very whole other level, like, this is such a deep, you know, this is the kind of, like, where a lot of deep-rooted stuff for self-love is.
Totally.
Because, you know,
chapter.
So much of self-love in accepting ourselves is accepting our sexuality and accepting that we're sexual
that
humans.
That we're sexual beings.
Yeah. Yeah, that we're sexual beings
it's
and that it's okay,
we are, and it's
you know.
In, it's
and,
need. Yes, and that it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and, you know. a lot of our culture, not all of it, but a lot of it, you know, has just very strong sides of both sides, you know,
and
very extreme opinions on both sides of how everybody should be around sex, right.
And the shaming kind of built into
into
it now, and how that's kind of
We're gonna have to do a whole topic.
I was just thinking, we are definitely gonna do a sex podcast.
Because that is, you know, that it just goes into like the root of. And it's the root chakra.
Yeah.
It's the root of everything.
Yeah.
And so much of it is self-acceptance and self-love, you know. So much.
There's so much to talk about.
You know,
my
it's
gosh.
Incredible.
It is. And I would say, in addition to that, is that, you know, practicing safe sex is also an act of self-love.
Absolutely.
You know, so, and whatever that means to you. And for me personally, like, safe sex starts with talking. You know, it's really about communicating with the person that you're with. Like, you know, what's your history? When was the last time you were tested? Like, you know, who have you been with? Like, just being able to have that
education.
Conversation. Yeah. And like not being afraid to ask that, you know, because your body is a sacred temple, and who you share it with, you know, you're sharing your energy with them. And so you have a right to, you know, put yourself in a place where you honor yourself enough to communicate with somebody that you share that with. And people really respect that.
Yes.
And so that's an act of self-love, you know, and using protection or, you know, whatever it is to take care of you and to be safe, you know, and that means emotionally, physically, mentally, you know.
Exactly.
And my dyslexia. Fun. So we'll talk about that in another podcast. That is coming. I'm writing it down.
Cool.
That is coming.
Good one. That's what she said.
It's so funny. Then I'm looking here, and I just remembered like a little story I wanted to tell about.
Yeah.
I was starting to tell you about it, Tiff, and Tiff was like, save this for the podcast. This is so
good. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, well, okay, so, like, you know, it's so cool that Tiff and I are doing this because, like, I have not been publicly on video in, you know, about over a year. You know, it's been a while since I published a video. And the reason why is because I had some really, really nasty comments on one of my videos that was, like, so hurtful. I mean, you know, people were saying really mean things about my body and basically, like, saying how disgusting I was and, like, nobody would want to sleep with me. And, you know, because it was a video about body image and sex and orgasm and, like, really about being mindful in your body during sex, really. And then, like, you know, I would delete the comments because I'm like, this is so hurtful and rude. And they would come back and be like, I see what you're doing here. You're deleting the comments. And then somebody said something along the lines of, like, you know, after watching this, I think you should go kill yourself, you know? And it was just like, I mean, obviously, like, these are strangers. These are people probably sitting in a basement somewhere, like, surfing the net, you know? It's like, why do I care what they think of me? But as somebody who, like, you know, comes from an eating disorder background, you know, I was raised in a very narcissistic family. Like, you know, other people's opinions of me, like, kind of defined my value, and it's still something I'm working out of, you know? And it was just, like, so hurtful because I have been suicidal, you know, and I know what it's like to look at myself in the mirror and be so disgusted with it that I literally want to end my life. I mean, that was just hit so home for me, you know? And so I, of course, disabled the comments on that video. But I've kind of, like, put distance between, you know, really talking and sharing my opinions and just, like, creating a lot of the content that I want to create because of what happened. And, you know, I've been really trying to practice a lot more of self-acceptance lately. And I went onto my channel and I watched two of my videos from like a year ago or whatever, you know, and had my shaved head and my turquoise hair and it was so fun. And I'm watching this video of myself and I'm like, damn, like, this girl was beautiful. Like, holy shit. Like, who is that? You know? And I just was like watching myself and was like, I do not see her when I look in the mirror. And that was like, what? Like, I mean, I just felt like she has so much energy and she's just so beautiful, like inside and out. And how come I don't see that of myself, you know? And other people tell me that all the time, but I just, I've always seen myself through the filters of my family and my eating disorder and like the abuse and stuff. So, you know, I realized, I actually wrote this sticky note that you can see, like when I watched the videos, I wrote, I'm so beautiful and capable. 'Cause that's what I saw when I was watching the video. And I thought, I need to put that somewhere where I can see it every day and remind myself of that woman and remind myself, like, I am that woman, you know, I'm so capable and I'm so beautiful. And I don't mean that in like a conceited way, just like, you know, realizing like that, I'm not a piece of shit. I'm not ugly and fat.
Right.
Like,
right. Yeah.
I have so much value and I am, you know, just, it's awesome. And so that is, you know, when I was telling Tiff, I'm like, that's not loving myself when I, you know, when I can't see her in the mirror, you know, and when I don't see this like perfect woman in the mirror, then I kind of criticize myself, you know, and something that we all work through. And so that's really like the work I'm doing now is seeing her in the mirror, like really choosing to step back and see myself, you know, and it's like when you're criticizing yourself, you know, you pick out these little things that you don't like and you really focus, like zoomed in on that one thing that you don't like. It's, you know, for me, like going through recovery, I learned to kind of zoom out and see the whole me because, you know, I'd be freaking out about my body. Like, oh my God, do people like see my tummy and like stuff like that when they see me? No, people see the whole Blake. Like they're looking at my whole, like they're seeing how tall and beautiful I am and how, you know, I stand in my space and oh, my long legs and my smile, you know, and my eyes. Like they're looking at my positive attributes, not picking me apart. Like only I do that.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just like being able to zoom out in front of the mirror and see like, oh my gosh, I'm so beautiful. I have so much to offer. And then changing that self-talk.
Right.
Exactly. Because we were talking about that self-talk.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. All those thoughts that we find and all those things that we say to ourselves, changing all of that to, you know, seeing it different. I mean, just really seeing ourselves the way that, like, that's such a beautiful story and being able to see yourself the way others see you. Because if we all saw ourselves the way that others see us, then we wouldn't be freaking, you know, like we would all be doing, and it's not that we're not where we should be right now, but we would all be, I think, you know, for all of us that are like kind of figuring out, you know what I mean? Like in the space where Blake and I are, where we're kind of just figuring out like, and it's not that we're not, we don't have the stuff figured out, but we're just letting everything flow, you know, and we're kind of taking it, learning as we go and being open to the unknown and trusting the unknown and trusting the expansion because it's something we've never felt before. So, you know, facing a lot of our fears, I feel like for, you know, people like us who are like on this kind of journey, it is a, shoot, now I kind of lost what I was saying, but I think I was going to say that it's,
like if we saw how other people
saw us. Exactly. That's what I was going to say was that, you know, if we saw ourselves right now, how other people see us, then we wouldn't be so scared to do what we need to do in order to get where we need to go.
Exactly.
We wouldn't feel so scared.
No.
We would have so much more, you know, confidence and we wouldn't have doubts.
We would second guess ourselves.
Exactly.
Second guess our desires. We would just freaking do it.
Yeah. Which is why it's so important, and I have this written down too, to talk about surrounding yourself with people who can remind you and see that for the truth in you when you can't see it for yourself, when you need that reminder.
Like my
and, Tiffany. Yay, like Blake. I mean, this is, you know, like, it's I feel like that's all I have now in my life are cheerleaders, you know, people. And I don't, maybe I don't see them all the time. We don't talk often or whatever, but still, like, there are, and some of them we do, but there are, I have now, you know, I can say, really surrounded myself with people who only want the absolute best for me, see the best for me, really see, you know, something in me that I can't see for myself, and they remind me of it. And it just, you know, like with you, Blake, like every, you know, all of your friends, they all, you know, like they all see in you what it's hard for you to see right. for yourself. Exactly. And because we are picking ourselves apart, and they're not. They right. see all of this beauty, and we see all these flaws, and then it's like, you know, oh my gosh, wait, what do you see? Wait, right. what? What?
Right.
You really saw that? Oh my right. gosh.
And I think when I was wearing my mask, that was like a protective bubble. It kept, mm-hmm. you know, it kept the pain out, but it also kept the love out.
Oh, absolutely.
Like I couldn't, you know, I couldn't let people see me. Like I couldn't internalize the way that people saw me because I had this protective shell right. on. And then I was also showing them something that was a false version of myself. So I never trusted what people said because I wasn't really showing them my true self. And so it's been this journey of like taking the mask Absolutely. Off and opening up and, you know, hearing what somebody says and taking a compliment, people.
Yes.
Accept compliments.
Yes.
It gives the person that's giving it to you the opportunity to give, and it feels so good to give. And when you reject a compliment, you know, you're like, it's kind of rude, really, you know?
Right, right. Well, and it's, I mean, and we reject it because it's uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Because we are not nourishing ourselves and filling up that, like seeing that within ourselves. So when other people say it, it's hard to believe. Because we're not, we don't believe that about ourselves
right.
until we do.
Right.
Until we do start to see it. And then it's right. like, yes, you know, like today you complimented me and you said you look so beautiful. And
you
I,
do.
And my first instinct was to be like, no, you're the one, you know, and turn it around because you look so beautiful. And, oh. and to kind of, you know, curveball back to you, you know.
Yeah.
'Cause then I don't have to accept it. But, you know, I didn't. I said thank you. And it was uncomfortable. And, you know, but I still, I'm willing to, you know, be in the discomfort to embrace this and really, you know, play with embracing the beauty that other people see within me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Acknowledging it,
mm-hmm.
being willing to acknowledge it
mm-hmm.
and accept
yeah.
it, and self-acceptance.
Yeah.
Which is
I mean,
self-love and everything.
Yeah, and this whole girls empowerment program, I mean, it's kind of like it's all for teens or whatever, but I feel like it's empowering me. You
yeah.
know, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you're my mentor, you know? Like, I'm not your mentor, you know? Like, I'm not here for you, you know? Like, you're here for me. I need this, you know? Because we do. We all need, you know, support groups and committees and tribes and communities
Sisterhood.
And families. And
yeah.
I mean, we all need some kind and
community.
You know, core that, you know, our circles that keep us in that reflection of who we are and reflecting who we are.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Gosh, what a great, we've had some really like awesome conversations
stuff.
Today.
Yeah, totally. Oh my gosh.
So I feel like really the only resource that I would have to suggest other than like a million, you know, books in the self-help section on yourself. But I think like, 'cause when we were talking about, you know, health and nourishing yourself and stuff, I feel like there's a lot of health concerns that we have that come up that would really, that really the root of all of it is loving ourselves.
Right.
And stopping, like pausing, you know?
Right.
Like there's somewhere in our life that, or somewhere in our health that we're not paying attention to. and it's wanting us to pause and stop and look at it.
Right.
And pausing and stopping and looking at it and taking the time to work on it is an act of self-love. And I think that one of the, I would show, or I will show you, but I don't have, anyway, you'll see it in a second. But the book that's helped me so much is the book by Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life.
So good.
And so my dog. You know, like my dog ate my homework. Well, my dog ate my book. When we first got Cash and he chewed up stuff when we left the house, it was an awful discovery. And he's now crate trained, so he's fine. But so anyway, he had a little bit of love for Louise Hay too. But in this book, and it talks, like almost every affirmation is all about self-love. Mm-hmm. Almost every chapter is all about self-love. I mean, the root of all of this is loving yourself. And it has so many great like tools and quotes and poems and stories on like how to shift beliefs, how to question, how to support us, our healing and changing and growing.
Absolutely.
And so it's a really great book.
Yes.
I go to this book for like anything and everything. I'm like, oh my gosh, wait a minute. I have, dry feet or something like that, you know, and I'll look and it's all, oh my God, it's fear, you know, I'm just like making it up. But
yeah,
it's,
so what Tiffany is talking about is this little insert in the book called You Can Heal Your Body. And it basically lists every ailment that you could have, any physical ailment. It lists the emotional cause of that physical ailment and then an affirmation you can use to heal that physical ailment. And it's so interesting to see like the different things that are going on and how it's related to different aspects of your life.
I'm just going to read crying just because we all cry. And for crying, it's tears are the river of life, shed in joy as well as in sadness and fear. And the affirmation for crying is, I am peaceful with all of my emotions. I love and approve of myself.
Yeah.
And it's like exactly what we're talking. Approval, acceptance of who you are is, all of these affirmations have, I love and approve of myself. And same with tapping, you know, same with tapping is, you know, you go through affirmations where you are reprogramming the neurological, you know, patterning, so that, you know,
you're going a different way with your thought patterns, basically, you know, rewiring it. Yeah. And I use tapping a lot in conjunction with Louise Hay. I actually have the app, You Can Heal Your Body, on my phone. It's super, super inexpensive and it's amazing. So like anytime anything's going on, you know, I look up the ailment and
that's so
it just gives you so much clarity. Yeah, it's awesome. Check it out in the iTunes store and the App Store. So
cool.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds super great. I feel like that's a really good place for us to say thank you. And it's just been so great chatting about this. And I'm so grateful that everyone that is listening is here and that we get to create this beautiful space together.
Absolutely. And if there's, you know, things that you do for self-love that we didn't list or challenges that you have or anything that you, you know, want to share with us, feel free to comment or write to us.
It's cousinconvopodcast@gmail.com.
And
we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, totally.
And also be sure to subscribe on iTunes to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel as well if you like watching us be goofy while we chat. That is Search for Cousin Conversations on YouTube. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great. Well, thank you for joining the conversation.
Thank you.
As always, have a beautiful day and
big hugs.
Big hugs.
Bye.
And we really do this every time we talk. We
totally.
Literally end with hugs and prayers and stuff. So
mwah.
Peace out. Have a groovy day. Thank you so much for listening. And to give you guys a little bit of background on who Blake and I are, Blake Ashley Freedom is the survivor of anorexia, a disease that has the highest mortality rate of any mental illness. She lived with her eating disorder for over 20 years and has maintained a healthy weight for over 3 years by loving herself and using her tools. Big celebration. Yeah. That's big self-love. Hallelujah to that. And Blake, you have been working on some really fun stuff on your website, blakeashleyfreedom.com. And tell us about what you've been working on.
I am. So I actually created a video training series on EFT tapping, which you've been hearing me talk about. It's super, super fun, super, super awesome. I've actually had people tell me that it was more fun than some of the other trainings that they've learned from. So it's for free and it's 3 videos and you're going to love it. Come check it out at my website, www.blakeashleyfreedom.com/tapping-toolbox. And I also love to help women who are struggling with their relationship with food and their body. So come on over to my website to get more information about that too.
Yay!
And I'm so excited to tell you about Tiffany. Tiffany Peterson is a super awesome comedic actress and an activist in Venice Beach, California. Beautiful, beautiful place. She has produced film festivals, film camps for kids, and taught improv to kids in various after-school programs. When she's not walking her dogs or tie-dyeing her entire wardrobe, she writes and produces comedy sketches on YouTube, which are very, very funny. So go check them out. And Tiffany, you've got some stuff going on, right? Because she's always working in her community. So tell us what you're doing in the community today, right now.
Yeah, so I have been volunteering with a very cool girls empowerment program called Girls Pact. And we have quarterly and monthly events and things where we are talking with young women and empowering both them and ourselves to rock our stuff, be ourselves, love ourselves, everything that we're talking about in our podcasts. And I am very active in my local community here in Venice with the Abbot Kinney Festival, Abbot Kinney Boulevard Association, and I am... There's a few other nonprofits that I also work with or help out or love to support, DoSomethingSaturday.org. And if you are ever around 1450 Ocean, definitely stop by the Camera Obscura building. It's right next to the Santa Monica Pier and check out that space. It's a community center full of tons of workshops. Sometimes I host them and we'll be... just check it out because we're always, you know, having really fun events going on. So, yes.
And you can keep up with Tiffany and all of her current projects and everything she's working on her website. And
yes.
Where is that, Tiffany?
Yes, that's at tiffanypeterson.com. That's Tiffany, T-I-F-F-A-N-Y, Peterson, P-E-T-E-R-S-O-N.com.
She's got some really cool comedy sketches on there. You can also check out her IMDb and see all of the amazing things she's been working on. So check out her site and you'll be able to keep her updated on what she's got going on. Check out my site. You'll be able to stay updated on what I've got going on.
Yeah.
And we're going to see you in the next podcast.
Woo-hoo! Woo! All right. Go rock your stuff. Love yourself.
Love yourself.
Do it.
Thanks for listening All to right. Cousin Conversations.
Yay. We love you.
Hugs.
Cousin Conversations, laughter and life lessons. Cousin Conversations with Blake and Tiff.
Thanks for listening
to Cousin Conversations.
Woohoo!
Woo!
So am I supposed to look at the camera or at you?
Talk, talk, eddy, talk. Are you recording?
Maybe.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Well, yes. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? Okay. So everyone that's watching can
Yeah.
connect with us.